Looks right on the screen? Okay, good. Wonderful. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship. It's kind of a gray, sleepy Sunday morning, but that's all right. We're glad that you're here and ready to worship the Lord. If you're watching online, we hope that you're ready to focus on worship. Let's lift up the Lord in song and in prayer. Let's hear from the Word and be prepared for living out our mission of love this week. So as we begin, let's start, as we always do, with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Father, thank you that we live in freedom to come before you and worship in public, to declare you as the God who has created us all, to give thanks to you for your wonderful blessings in our lives, most of all for Jesus, your Son, who died for the sins of the whole world, who took upon himself all the brokenness and has given us back eternal life. We celebrate that he arose from the grave on Easter Sunday, and he has ascended into heaven, and he is offering us newness of life with all authority that has been given to him in heaven and on earth. And so as we lift up his name and honor you this morning, we ask that you'll help us to do our best to make your praise glorious. Move in our lives today. As we give in the offering, as we respond at the Lord's table, as we sing, pray, whatever we do it to your glory today. And may you speak deeply, and may you form us in faith today. So we ask all of these things in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. Right, this time, let's sing. Let's stand together as we sing, How Great Thou Art.
And when I think that God sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great. When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great.
Be seated. This time we want to go to prayer, so Joy Rickle is going to come to lead us.
I would invite you all to bow your heads and close your eyes, and let's just relax and feel the presence of the Holy Spirit here. Our God in heaven, you are great. You sent your Son to die on that cross for us, each and every one of us. And we are so truly grateful. And I would pray that each one of us will recall that sacrifice each and every day so we can give thanks. Father, as we're here this day, we give thanks for this day of life that you have given us. The sun may not be shining, but we know, dear God, that you are with us. Your Holy Spirit is in this place and will be speaking through our pastor as he brings the message. May our hearts and our minds be open and receptive to the message that he brings. Father, I pray that you will be with each and every one of us as we strive to live more Christ-like lives. And dear God, it's you that we follow. And we give thanks for your Son. And we ask that he be a partner in all that we do and say each and every day. Father, we pray especially for Connie, for healing, for relief from pain. And dear God, we pray that she'll once again be feeling 100%. And we know that you are the great physician, and there is nothing that is impossible to you. We pray for others that are awaiting surgery or test. Dear God, we know that you are in control. There's no point to worry, because whatever the outcome is, you will be there with us, and you are in control. Father, I pray for this church. I pray for us to be faithful believers and strive to share the gospel with others. I pray for our cities, our nations, and our world. I pray for peace. I pray for health. Dear God, I pray that you will be with us in our homes, that they may be havens of peace. Father, I pray for our pastor as he brings us the message this day. I pray that you will keep him safe, keep him healthy, And dear God, we pray that he will allow the Holy Spirit to speak through him. And we know that anything that you allow into our lives has a purpose. And Father, we live to fulfill your purpose in our lives. And it's in your Son's holy and precious name that I pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. We want to highlight giving at this point. Usually with tithes and offerings, you can give in the back as you go or as you arrive. Also, you can give online on our church website, fairmeadowchurch.org. That's fairmeadowchurch.org. Click the Give Now button. And you can give there. It's a great way to give. Gets directly deposited into our church account. You can also give through Facebook at the Donate button. And if you want to mail it in to our address, 1601 Fran Lynn Parkway in Munster, Indiana, you can do that too. But we need you to be faithful in your giving. We have a project going of trying to raise funds for an HVAC unit. And you can see on the screen our progress there toward this goal. It'll be important for us to try to do that before winter. But we are also reaching a critical point with our regular giving, whether some may have given toward this project, but then not have been able to give as much toward their regular giving, I'm not sure. But it is time for us to make sure that we're up to date with our giving. And for our family, what we are doing this month is I'm asking the church not to pay me this month, in the month of October, and we want those funds to be able to go toward helping the church to thrive. So we're asking your family to consider sacrificial giving as well. If you can give above what you've been giving, you've been trusting God at one level to this point, can you trust him a bit more in order to give to see the mission of God move forward in our area? So we know God's going to provide for every need as we put him first. But we're challenging you to do that. Please pray for my family this month as we take this step of faith. But we believe God has led us to make this choice. So we believe he's going to provide for our needs. So with all that in mind, let's go to the Word of God. We're continuing our series through the book of Acts. And today we find ourselves in chapter 3. So let's stand in honor of God's word. Today it's still Peter that we're hearing from quite a bit. Acts chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a man lame from birth was being carried in. People would lay him daily at the gate of the temple called Beautiful Gate, so that he could ask for alms from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms. Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who used to sit and ask for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. So this is God's word. You can be seated. Well, it was basically business as unusual. Now, what was usual about it was the prayer time. 3 p.m. every day at the temple, that was the holy habit of these godly men. And so they were just doing what they normally do. They were praying. And on this day, a man begs for money from them. Again, nothing different, for he was often there at that very gate, asking for money from those who passed by. And then Peter looks intently at the man, and he says to him, "Look at us." Now the man was probably used to this. This is the part where they give me something, but they want me to pay attention and see them giving. But unexpected words come out of Peter's mouth. "Silver and gold we don't have." They couldn't give out of what they don't have, right? They couldn't do it. But did that mean that they had nothing to offer this man? No, it did not mean that. They were servants of the Most High. They were followers of Jesus. So they always had something to offer. I'm going to say that again. They were servants of the Most High. They were followers of Jesus. They always have something to offer. But notice something else here. Everything's very ordinary as far as the scenery and the background here. They joined in the community practice of prayer and worship, and this placed them in a very ordinary moment of a very ordinary day, but also set the stage for some very extraordinary events. So be sure to develop a habit of praying every day. Do you pray every day? Because that leads to good things. No matter where you are when you do it, no matter how average or ordinary or normal it seems, when you are praying and attending to prayer in your life, expect unusual things to happen sometimes. Here is what Peter says to the man. "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Powerful words. He named his Savior. He named the unmemorable place that Jesus was from. Nazareth was so small you could walk past it and miss it. A very ordinary place. But very extraordinary events were unfolding when they invoked the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This turned ordinary into mordinary, right? Because there was more going on than the man who was begging had ever imagined could be happening in this moment. Now, as you can expect, this caused a pretty big scene. So let's take a look at verses 7 and 8. It says, "And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God." Powerful. And I love that the first thing he does is go to church with Peter and their friends, right? He gets healed and he goes right on into worship with them. If you affect someone's life with unforeseen blessing, they're going to be interested in what made that happen. They're going to be interested in what it is that motivates you and gives you the hope and the strength to offer hope and life to others. And well, he wasn't the only one. Look at verse 9. "All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who used to sit and ask for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. And while he clung to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's Portico, utterly astonished." Amazing. Well, people were watching and they wanted to see what happened next. I think we have a slide with an image on it now. Now, this is a scale model of the temple area. I believe this is something that's in Israel that you can see there. You see the park bench in the back. So that's kind of the scale of the size of this model. But in real life, it was a very large structure. And if you look on the right of the image, where that brown roof is on there, that one part of it, that is what was Solomon's porch. So that was an area that was covered. People could gather there, and they'd be protected from the weather, a nice cool shade in the middle of a hot day as well. Maybe voices carried better if you were speaking underneath the roof there. And this may have even been where Peter gave his speech at Pentecost. So lots of people learned the full truth about Jesus that day because these men were doing their ordinary thing, going to pray, and when a need was presented to them, they gave what they had to give. It was a pretty regular guy, Peter, keeping to his normal pattern of prayer, but staying open to the opportunities that Jesus put in front of him. In this case, it was a man in need. So there on Solomon's porch, Jesus became real to many people. But the powers that be weren't happy about this. The group of ruling leaders was called the Sanhedrin. As it says on the next slide there, the Sanhedrin gave them a hard time. They were sort of like the Supreme Court of Jewish matters. Well, no problem to these men. Just another fresh audience who got to hear the real difference that Jesus was making. They were called on the carpet. They gladly spoke on the carpet about what Jesus was doing in their lives and what Jesus had done for this man. In chapter 4 of Acts, at verse 7, it says, "When they had made the prisoners stand in their midst, they inquired, 'By what power or by what name did you do this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit," see that phrase again? "Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders, if we're questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead.'" Boom, there it is. Now, the Roman leaders had handpicked most of these men who were on the Sanhedrin. So this wasn't really one of the great Sanhedrin courts of history, really seeking to do God's will. It was probably a compromised collection. And these were people that had tried to silence Jesus. And so now they were going to try to silence his followers. Empires will always try to silence other voices. They want you to respect and enjoy the peace of the land. They want you doing predictable stuff that keeps everything the same. But Jesus kept preaching the truth. And they tried to silence him, but as we know, it just didn't work. They couldn't silence Jesus. They tried killing Jesus. It didn't hold him down. It didn't hold him back. God raised him from the dead. He ascended and now poured out the Holy Spirit. And here it comes again. Amen? Well, Jesus kept preaching the truth, and now so are the apostles. But these men thought they could scheme and plot and hold back what God was up to. But it just never works. Like the cardinal in the classic book by Dostoevsky called The Grand Inquisitor. He tried to stop Jesus. And Dan Boone, the author of the book that we are reading together, he summarizes the thoughts here. And I'm going to quote this. "The town is Seville. The time is the Spanish Inquisition. The Cardinal of Seville is the religious ruler of the city, and he rules with an iron fist. Heretics are burned daily at the stake to the glory of God and the satisfaction of the cardinal. But as Dostoevsky tells the story, one day a stranger appears in the city square. He came softly, unobserved, but strange to say, everyone recognizes him. The people are irresistibly drawn to him. They surround him, flock to him even. He moves silently in their midst with a gentle smile of infinite compassion. The sun of love burns in his heart. Light, power shines from his eyes. The Cardinal of Seville passes by, sees him, and recognizes the stranger. It is the Christ. It's Jesus. He has the guards arrest him and take him to the prison of the Inquisition. Later, he goes down to the prison dungeon and stands there gazing in Jesus' face. Is it you? Why have you come here? He charges Jesus with unsettling the people with his message of hope. The cardinal has domesticated the people by bland religion. Their lives are ordered by his power, and he doesn't want that interrupted. So he says, go. This is literally what he says to Jesus. Go and come no more. Come not at all. Never, never. Then Jesus approaches the Cardinal of Seville and in silence kisses him on his aged, bloodless lips. The old man shudders. The power of Jesus threatens everything he possesses. The kiss has a new future in it, but the cardinal clings to his ways. Now, of course, this is a fictional account. It's trying to make a social commentary. It's trying to say, though, to Christians also, how much do we really want Jesus in charge? How much do we really want him to break through and bring the fullness of the kingdom of God? Or would we rather settle for something less, something we're in control of? Do we want convenience? Do we want comfort? Or do we want the kingdom of God? So this morning, which kingdom still moves you the most? I'm going to ask that question again. Which kingdom? The kingdom of God or the kingdom of this world? Which one moves you the most? Now, the Jewish leaders who were no longer challenging the Roman rulers, they saw Jesus as a problem, not as a savior. The Cardinal of Seville literally sees and understands that it's Jesus, but he doesn't want him there messing up his perfect little system. Year by year, slowly but surely, he stopped longing for the kingdom and instead gave himself to earthly kingdoms. It could happen to us. It really could. Now, Peter and John, these are men who've been set free from all of that because Jesus had come into their lives. Jesus had spoken with authority to those who stood in authority. Jesus had challenged them. And Jesus laid down his life and took all the violence they could pour out. And he still gave back life-giving love. And this man who was begging there at the gate, his needs could not go ignored. And so Peter, just doing the normal thing that a follower of Jesus does, on his way to pray, gave him what he could. And it changed this man's life. Are you with me this morning? They had clearly made their choice. And it was going to lead them to problems. It was going to put them into conflict with many others. But they chose the way of Jesus. Well, if I ask you the question, which side would you be on? Of course, we're going to say, yes, I'll be on Jesus' side. Because that's the right answer. Especially at church. But really be honest about it, because there's a lot at stake for you and for the world. Peter had a habit, and that habit of prayer led to a life-changing miracle. Could you even get into the trouble that Peter got into? Are you up to this kind of stuff regularly enough that someone might say, hey, something different's going on here? And we better do something about that. Does God have access to your ordinary time so he can do extraordinary things? If a friend or a family member or a stranger spends time with you at your ordinary places, would they know that you came from a world affected by Jesus? Would they know that you came from church life? Would they want to follow you there? These are questions to consider. I want us to say this phrase on the screen together. God inhabits our ordinary moments with grace. Let's say that again. God inhabits our ordinary moments with grace. Now, I'm not promising you that every lame man you see, you can take them by the hand and God will make them walk. I can't promise you that. But maybe he will. But I do promise you that God inhabits those moments of prayer, those ordinary conversations, those ordinary needs around you. And maybe you do have money. Maybe, unlike Peter, there is silver or gold that you could give. So don't hold back if you do. But maybe you have unique abilities and experience. Share them. Maybe you care enough to say to someone, look at me. Jesus is going to help you, and I'm here with you in this moment. Walking and jumping and praising God, that man was, and to that I say yes and amen. May it be so in your life and mine that somebody right now is bent over by the struggle of life, and they are put across your path. And you are there and you see them. May you never question again that you have anything to offer them, because you have the love and the presence of Jesus to offer them. Amen. May it be so in your life and mine. May prayer be our regular pattern. May we obey, and may we bless others out of what God is giving to us. And he is giving all of us so much. Let's pray. For you have blessed me so much in my life. I thank you for your healing love and your daily presence in my life and your overcoming power. You are King of Kings. You are Lord of Lords. You are Lord of my life. And I owe everything to you. And Father, I know there are people who are hearing me speak this morning who know of what I speak. And I pray that they are shaken to the core and just overwhelmed again themselves in wonder at what your healing presence has done for us. And Lord, you have given so much. May we freely give. When we encounter need, when we see need in front of us, may we respond. May we not resist. May it just become normal for us to offer the grace and the power of the risen Jesus to anyone and everyone who is in our path. And may they be leaping and walking and praising God and giving thanks for newfound freedom in their own life and power to overcome and hope to live toward. Because the love of Jesus is there to heal and restore and bless. And Lord, may we never discount the power of that in our life or in anyone else's. So Lord, forgive us for when we have held back. But Lord, thank you for those moments when we've let you freely speak through us. And as we have freely received, we have freely given. It is an abundant life and a life worth living. With your eyes closed this morning, maybe there's someone Jesus has already put in your path and in your life, and he's bringing them to mind right now. I want you to think of that person and their need. And I want you to lift them up to Jesus right now. I want you to believe for them that God has more for them. And I want you to commit to that habit of prayer and rhythm of life, of being in church and being able to just naturally invite others to come along with you. And I just pray that you'll have faith to see what God does in their life. Father, we lift these up to you now. And Lord, also those who we may encounter this week, we lift them up to you, Lord, and may we be able to offer them eternal life in you. And I just pray that we'll be walking and leaping and praising God ourselves because of what you're doing in this wonderful life that we get to live. I know Peter and John, they felt so alive in those moments too. And I know they are thanking you forever and ever for the life they got to live. So Lord, bless this church. Fill us with your Holy Spirit that we may speak in your name, loving, life-giving words wherever we go. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're watching online, we want to dismiss you at this time. Thank you for being with us here live. We're going to come to the Lord's table at this time. So thank you and goodbye.